Coleman. Okay. We're talking about Halach and what the Svara for the Torah of the Halach was, and we mentioned three basic drachim, one of which is a very, very main thing. The first derech, which is more of a technical derech, is either if you take the approach of Gilgal, you could say it's a hafkah of the sack of piyah because you're already paid, or if you take the approach of reviving the dover or taina chashuva, then it's a hafkas hataina. So therefore, the part you're modan is no longer part of your taina, and you're left with a ko for a ko. The second derech was the the order, I think so. Perhaps what Tosfos is saying, unless you want to say that your psychology is affected by your knowledge of halacha, and the Meiri, which is a psychological derech, which is maybe Tosfos, and the Meiri, which is that Halach is Ha'aza. And the third derech, which was the Ketzos, is a not unlike the mainstream shop, which says that what happens is that you taka have a hodah, but that hodah is not relevant to your din Torah anymore, and therefore you have the hodah, but that's not relevant anymore. You're left with the go for a code. But so says you never have a hodah in the first place. It's basically hafkas ha hodah, and what he's saying is that the hodah is considered ineffective. It's not a real hodah because it's unnecessary, right? Meaning, if you gave it to the guy anyway, then there's no chalos hodah, because you gave it to him anyway. So what's the difference if you're a moder or was matana? If I actually give you the money, I don't need to be moder anymore. Okay, which is again not mainstream, and I mentioned the akasha against it, which you could answer, but it's not a very good answer. Then he has akasha in hand. We'll get to it. Okay, what's nafkamina in terms of how you understand halach? So so one nafkamina, which the Beis HaLevi pointed out, as he says, nafkamina, what about, this is the Beis HaLevi's nafkamina, halach, this Eidim. You weren't mowed at all. Instead, you had Eidim in Mitzas, like Rechia Kamaisa, and you said halach. So if it's that the part of the Hodah doesn't count, and it's mufka, and you're left with a gofer kol, then clearly you would be potter, which is the Shita of Rashi, because Rashi says in the Tanatuna L'Rachia de Halach, they were still considering to be Ha'adas Eidim. So then clearly, if the point of Halach is the Pashut Pshat, what it says in the Gemara, that Halach means the 50 you've paid is over and done with. You're only left with 50, and that 50 you're kofar kol. Doesn't matter whether you're mowed in the first 50 or you're an Eidim on the first 50. Once it's over and done with, it's not here anymore, you're left to kofar kol. However, if the point of Halach is psychological, that you're being mayas, it's ha'aza to say halach, and since it's ha'aza to say halach, therefore you're potter, perhaps because of the principle, chazaka inu meiz panav nei malchovo, so you have proof that you're telling the truth. That's only if you say half and say halach, then we believe that you're telling the truth because you're being meiz. But if you said zero and Adam came and said 50, then of course you're lying. You said zero. The only question is, are you lying about 50 or lying about 100? Then clearly, there would be no tor halach if you looked at it as a Which again, the Beis Halevi also reads this as a Pshat and Tosos, although he's coming to from different Tosos than I am. Then clearly there's no personal. That's the Beis Halevi's Nafkamina. Another Nafkamina, which the Beis Halevi mentions a little earlier, based on the Gemara of Dalam and Beis, would be Taka. Is Halach considered to be Ha'azah, or is Halach considered to be not Ha'azah? Basically, Tosfos considered Halach to be Ha'azah. All the other Rishonim consider Halach not to be Ha'azah. So, what's an afternoon if Halach is Ha'azah or not? So besides that, maybe you can use that to explain the whole Torah of Halach. But everyone knows an afternoon whether something's Ha'azah or not. An afternoon from Migud Ha'azah. That's, according to Tosfos, originally how Ha'azah makes into Shas. So the Beis Halevi points this out, and all the Shaar Mishpat has a long essay about this. All the Afkarana point out, another great Nafkamina is the classic case of what if a guy says, there's a Tviya of 100, and what does the guy say? The guy says, 50, he's kofer. 50, he's kofer. 30, he's modeh. 50, he's moda, and out of that 50, he has 30 on him. 30 says halach, and 20 he says, I owe you. He says, yeah, I admit to 50, and here's the 30 I have on me right now. I admit to 50, here's the 30 I have on me right now, and I'll pay you the other 20. So here, he's a moda mitzvah, right? Meaning, forget the halach, right? He's moda and 20, and kofar at 50. The question is, does he have a migo of... He could have just stuck with the 30. Can he say, well, if I was lying, I was just giving you this 30 putter and halach. Why am I volunteering another 20? Must be I'm telling the truth. So is that a valid migo or not? So all the Beis Halevi points out, and before he gets into this hakira, just when he first encounters the shita of ha'aza, that here you would be putter migu de the hodos rak al shloshim behelach. If you assume that halach has nothing to do with us, it's a technical ptor, then he's a great migo. Right now I admitted 50. I could have admitted 30 and had this technical ptor. So believe it and tell the truth about 50, because if I was lying, I would have had 30 and gotten away with this technical ptor. However, according to the Bali Tosfos, at least Tosfos in our daf, that wouldn't work. What do you mean, migo, you could have only admitted 30 of halach? It would be ha'azah to only admit the part that's halach. Right? You wouldn't have had the ha'azah. Basically, Tosa says, the same way every modem mitzvah doesn't have migo kofar kol, because he didn't have the ha'azah to be kofar kol, he also doesn't have the ha'azah to say halach, because halach is a big ha'azah. So therefore, he would say, migo de ha'azah, lo amrinan, and chai yeshua. So that would be another nafkamina, whether you look at the Ptur of Halach as psychological or as formal technical. Again, first off, I mean it's a formal technical Ptur. It applies Bain to my Hodah, Bain to Hadas Eden. It's a psychological Ptur that only applies to my Hodah when we're trying to figure out if I'm telling the truth. If we're trying to figure out whether what we should think based on what the Eden said, it's not going to help. Second off, I mean is, could I have a Migo? Now, don't be confused. Every time I say I'm Moda 50, I don't have a Migo that, well, why don't I have a Migo? I could have said Moda 50 in Halach. That's obviously why I don't have a migo, because I don't have $50 on me, so that's why I didn't say halach. Question is, if I say here's 30 and I'll give you 20 tomorrow, can I have a migo that I would have just given you the 30? And this actually comes up in a few cases in Shas. The Tosos, that's Tosos Beis Halevi quotes, Tosin Daf, Bava Kama Daf Kuf Zayin, has two deis about this, and these are the two deis. One day is like Tosos here, and one day isn't. Whether that would be a valid migo or not. Of course, according to the Kuthos, if you look at his technical also, then you would also say Potter, Mita Migu, because the Kuthos is also, he's not viewing this as a psychological insight, he's viewing this as a technical Potter. So the horror. Okay, the other interesting nafkamina is, what is the getter of halach? And this is a big mess, and it's not like a very, very neat lumdus, like it's just a lot of details. But as we know, there's a big machlokes Rishonim, we're going to get into it in about 2 minutes. What is the getter of halach? And what are the two basic just scenarios of halach that the Rishonim discuss? What are the two basic ways I can do halach according to different Rishonim? Either. No, that's not. Pikadon is a thing, not
a. You have it on you or it's available.
Exactly. One model of halach is here it is, like it's mamash in my hand, I'm putting it on the dayan's desk. Right? I said, you know, you asked me for 200, you know, okay. Halach, here's 100. Right? That's one model of halach. Handing it over. The other model of halach is called Shelcha B'kol Makom Shehein, as Rashi says, right? What does Rashi say halach is? Lo Tzeisim, Fim Shelcha B'kol Makom Shehein. Meaning, wherever it is, it's already yours. Right? Now, which of those, and therefore it's considered already paid, right? Which of those models of halach is really a valid model of halach? So, here we get their halach, I think according to the Ketzos, basically, according to the mainstream approach, right, which is that it's technically, it's just mafkiyah, it says the 50 that you said halach is already over and done with, we're only left with a kofar kol. So how do you determine when it's considered to be over and done with? So, l'chore you would say, like whatever it's considered to be, already paid, is over and done with. And what would be considered to be already paid? Maybe both scenarios. So I'm handing you the money that's already paid. If it's yours, wherever it is, it's already paid. Right? So it's, you know, basically, you would think, l'chore, both, b'yado b'bezden, and b'chol makom shehein are closed cases. You could argue, at the very least, it's in the parsha. Have a look at Tosos psychologically. Whenever I say halach, I'm being meyis, so it's a little hard to tell because I don't have such great psychological insight into these things. Having very little psychological experience with people demanding money from other people. Usually, you know, my field of work, my experience is usually dealing with psychology of people demanding comment from other people. And even that, I don't really have a proper understanding of. But money, you know, my profession, it's the kind of thing which is really not shy for anyone to demand from anyone because not enough to go around to start with to demand. So I don't know exactly how people feel, but you have to analyze psychologically. You'd have to analyze psychologically. We'll leave this as a question mark. Analyze psychologically when is a person really being chutzpahdik, and when is a person being conciliatory? But also I could see that maybe both of them are chutzpahdik. If I say, it's yours wherever it is, go away, you have nothing on me, that's chutzpahdik. If I say, here, take this and get out of my face, because I don't want anything to do with it now, I mean, it's also chutzpahdik. All right. Yesh, but the Ketzos is very clear. According to the Ketzos, what's the only kind of halach that, according to Ketzos, what kind of halach makes my hodah unnecessary? Makes my hodah redundant?
When he comes,
only when I'm giving to him in bed. If I say it's yours b'chol makom shehein, the only reason it's yours b'chol makom shehein is because I was molded. Right? If I say, oh, that cow in my backyard is yours. The only way you can have that cow is because my hodah. Clearly my hodah is affected. But if I say, 100 shekel, here's 100 shekel, then you have 100 shekel without my hodah. My hodah is not relevant. So for the ketzos, you clearly have to say, it's machrach that you have to say, that halach is only nose miyad bebezdin, not shelcha b'chol makom shehein. Is there really a shita that halach is only if it's I'm handing it to you right now in Bezdin, not if I say it's yours b'chol makom shehein? So the Ketzos would have to say that. Anyone remember who the Ketzos was trying to say a shita within in the first place? The Ramban. So l'chora the Ketzos is not a bad shot because if you look at the Ramban's lashon. Again, it's hard to tell because obviously the Ramban's not giving a running commentary on the Gemara. The Ramban's telling us maskana l'maisa, but nonetheless, we assume he's trying to tell us in a conceptually. In a conceptually coherent fashion, Alach L'maisa, right? The Rambam is not just trying to tell us how to look up situations that might come up, but trying to give us the proper conceptual structure. Okay, that's actually historically proven, but we don't go over that now. The Rambam says in Berak Gimel, Eimon Mitzvah Chayv Shulman HaTorah Sheyod Bepruta Yosef Yichvor V'Shtei Ma In Kesev Ol Yoser. V'Kami Pruta. Sorry. I meant Aleph Gimel. Hatorah Mitalton Chaver Rekach Rekol V'Yam Lo Adam Osha Hodu Mitzvah V'Nosno Miyad V'Amar In Chaviyad Olzeh Behelach. What do you say? Hodu Mitzvah V'Nosno Miyad V'Amar In Chaviyad. How does the Rambam? He quotes the word Halach. Halach means Nasan Miyad. Ol Sha'amar. Basically, what are the kids of Turin? If he is Kofar Kol, he's Potter. Or he said, Emma Shahili Hetzli Abom Chatli Nosatli Makartli or Zartilach, O Shatanu Chitim Hurlop Saurim Bechol Elu Potter Mi Shuas Ha Torah. Okay, so what's he saying? What? Kofar Kol is Potter. If I say, well, I did owe you, but now I don't anymore, because I paid back, because you're Mocho, okay, that's also Potter. Or if I say Halach Nasnu Miyad Bebezdin, the Rambam when he quotes the din of Halach, again, it's very hard to promise exactly what the Rambam thought, but at least what the Rambam says, because you never know what he could have thought that he didn't say. But when he quotes the din of Halach, the only place where he actually brings down the din of Halach, he says Nasnu, what's his lashon? Nasnu Miyad V'Amar Ein L'Chaviyadi Elazeh VeHalach. It sounds like Halach is only for Nosin Miyad. And the Achronim point out that that is borne out by what he says in Perek Dalid, by the very controversial case of Zelmer Aziz Zelmer Arachalon. If I say I say I gave you this house. It was full of, I don't know what it was full of. I don't know if it was full of straw or full of gold. Nafkamina for, you know, whether you're arguing on your own or bringing in a lawyer in a, you know, 3-piece suit. But I say, yeah, it's somewhere in between, right? I say, thank you, this house, I gave you this house with barrels up to the ziz. And you say, no, only barrels up to the chalom. You're chayiv modu mitzas. Pashup shot of the case is, I say there were barrels up to the ziz, you say there were barrels up to the chalom, and what are there now? What are there now? Chalom is lower than ziz, obviously. Now they're barrels up to the chalom. So I say I give you barrels up to the ziz and you stole them. You say, no, they're only barrels up to the chalom. So, Pashup Shad and the Rambam is, even though the barrels are there and they're mine v'chol makom shehein, I'm still chayish shvua, that's not halach. Pashup Shad and the Rambam is, if you say, here are your barrels, they're up to the chalom. Yeah, the Pashup Shad only says, zohar and a chalom, right? They say, it's up to the chalom. So, sounds like, the simplest shot, and this is what they're trying to die, that even though you say, here's your barrels up in the chalot or wherever they belong to the yours, that's not halach, that's chayiv. The only case of halach is nos miyad b'bezdin. And that's the Ketos is actually saying, the sheet of the Rambam. So it could be that's the sheet of the Rambam. Why does the Rambam say only nos miyad b'bezdin? It doesn't have to be the reason. We'll see that. This doesn't have to be the reason. But it could be because the Rambam thinks the getter of Halach is it makes your Hodah redundant. It makes your Hodah unnecessary. And the only thing that makes my Hodah unnecessary is if I give you the money in your hand. If I say you can take it from someplace else, then you can only take it from someplace else because we believe my Hodah. I mean, unless it's in your house. If it's in your house, I can say I'm giving you out on a chutzner. So the truth is the bias maybe is not such a good riot then. I've just neutralized the Achronim's riot. Okay, but certainly if I say Shalcha b'chol makom shehein, then my Hodah is the engine that drives your right to take that from Chol makom shehein, and not, certainly not redundant.
But the Ketos isn't saying that in giving over the Hodah, that in giving over, you know, Notim Miyad, it, we no longer believe the Hodah. He's just saying that the Hodah is now relevant. So wouldn't on the other side, when we're saying that, you know, Malcolm Shehain, it's not that you're believing me because of the Hodah, it's that the Hodah just still exists. Whether or not you believe the Hodah, or whether I'm being Kone based on the Hodah, isn't really pertinent. It's just that the Hodah is still extant in the, you know, like worldview of Beit Din, as opposed to the other case. No? I mean, it's not that I'm based on the Hodah. It's that I was Modeh. As opposed to the other case, where you're not Kone based on the Hodah, so the Hodah just doesn't, I wasn't Modeh.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you're Kone based on the Hodah. I mean, you only win because of the Hodah. In the Kol Malkum chain, you only win because of the Hodah. You can go to Kol Malkum chain and take the cow to the Hodah. In a case where I hand it over, you win without the Hodah.
But so, I don't have to take a Shavuot because you win. I have to take a Shavuot because I was Modeh.
Right, but if you get the same money without my Hodah doesn't count. That's so the Ketos. I think we're trying to say the same thing. Okay. But think about it. Okay. Now let's just get to the question of what the geder of halach is. Right? What counts as halach? So, what is the mainstream, let's just cause the shita, what counts as halach? What's the mainstream shita in terms of what counts as halach? Now, we haven't seen all of each other, we haven't seen the Shulchan Aruch. Anyone want to tell us what's the mainstream shita as to what counts as halach? So, the mainstream shita, that is... Sorry. Basically, we're showing him the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva and the Ran and the and the Nemuke Yosef and Rov Rishonim assume that. What did I put on the Makoros?
The Rashba and the Ritva.
Great. That, what's considered the Geder of Halach? Rov Rishonim say, either Nosei Miyad, if I'm Nosei Miyad, then I'm giving it to you, right? Or Pikadon Yichol Makom Shehu. Right? Most of the Rishonim assume, and this is the accepted psak, that halach can be done in one of two ways. Either I give it to you right away, because I give it to you right away, then I give it to you, right? I paid already. Or, if I say it's a pikadon, but wherever it is belongs to you, because we have a principle that a pikadon is always considered to be in the rishos of the bailim. Right, for example, right, if you steal something from me, I can't sell it or be makdish it, but a pikadon I can sell, and... I can sell, and I can be makdish. It's considered to be under my control. So if I say, you know, didn't I give you two cows to watch? And you say, yeah, you gave me one cow to watch, and it's, you know, right in my backyard. Then that is considered to be halach, because it's my cow, wherever it is. I don't have to sue you for the cow anymore. I already have the cow. I don't have the cow in my hand, but I have the cow in my possession, because wherever it is, it's considered to be in my possession. That's the mainstream psak in halach. However, who's the first person we see who seems to not fit what most Rishonim think? Rashi. What does Rashi say? V'heilach lo hotzei sim vein shelcha b'chol makom shehem. What is the first initial chiddush in Rashi? What does Rashi seem to be talking about when he says lo hotzei sim? I didn't spend the money yet, and so wherever it is, it's yours. Rashi sounds like it's a milvah. That's why the grus is on the side. Right, nifta betzido, I have aleph in the grav, alaran cholik alim kasev, dam milvelot son, and if dafka bikadon adin king, ayin, etc. Right, and the shach votes a million gazillion rishonim, how everyone's against Rashi in this. So, we have a few machlokas, right? We have the sheet of Rov Rishonim, but then we have our Rashi, right? Rashi says, at least seems to say, even milveh, even ma'os milveh b'chol makom shehen. If lo hotzeihem, right? If you didn't spend them, right? I mean, Rashi admits if you did spend them, then you can't say, well, there is money that's yours wherever it is. So obviously, the money is wherever it is. But if I didn't spend it yet, then Rashi basically says, if you didn't spend it yet, then milveh's a pikadon, right? And all the Rishonim argue, and what's the basis of the machlokas between? Now, even within Rashi, it's not so pashut. There are some Rishonim who want to deny that Rashi even meant it. The Rashba makes it sound a little... Where's my Rashba? Right, it's generally assumed that Rashi really meant it. There are some Rishonim who want to say maybe even Rashi didn't mean it. The Rashba, it's not so clear whether he's trying to say what he thinks Pshat and Rashi is, or what he thinks Pshat and Rashi should be, but Rashi says, "Pirush Rashi that lo itzeis v'nishchab b'chol makom shehu fi pirush em mashu lo shayich halach ala b'pikadon bilvad shabikadon v'shus b'ayin b'chol makom shehu." Right. So he says, according to Rashi, it sounds like halach should only apply to pikadon, because only in a pikadon is b'shus chab b'chol makom shehu. And again, I'm not sure if he's saying Rashi didn't mean Milveh, or he's saying, like, Rashi could be Tev, or shouldn't have meant Milveh, but Lechomer Rashi, right? Well, the, again, it could very well be that Taka, maybe the Rashba thinks Rashi didn't really mean what he seems to mean. But I think it's more likely, he knows Rashi meant Milveh. He just means, of course, it can't be. So really, it would only apply to Pikadu. But anyway, the Pshat in Rashi is that Rashi means even Milveh Chol Makom Shein, and then we have Machlok seeing Rashi and all the other Rishonim, right? Machlok seeing Rashi and all the other Rishonim, what's the status of Milveh, Mos Milveh Shalom Hutziyam, Bichol Makom Shein? Rashi says, what's Machlok is here? You have Maos Milveh Shalom Hutziyam. Rashi says that it's still Hirshos Malveh. And the other Rishonim say it's not Rishos Malveh, right? What's the Machlokas here? The Machlokas here seems to be Machlokas having nothing to do with Halach. The Machlokas here seems to be Machlokas about the nature of the plow of Milvelotza Nitna. What does Milvelotza Nitna mean? Technically, what are the words literally Milvelotza Nitna mean? Literally, what are the words Milvelo Tzad Nitna mean?
You're not expected to hold on to them.
Exactly. You are in Milveh is given to be spent. When I lend you money, that's the difference between Milveh and Pikadon. If I give you Pikadon, that's the difference seen in halachic terminology. I don't know if this still works in modern Hebrew or not. Not such a bucky. The difference between Lehashil Lecha and Lehalvot Lecha. Right? If I am Mashil you something, you're a Shoal, one of the Arba Shomrim. That's Lav Lehot Tzad Nitna. Then you are supposed to use it and give it back the end. If I halvot you something, if I make a halva, then you're supposed to spend it and give me back equivalent amount of money. That's a divlina milveh and a she'ela. That's why, for example, right, in a, what's a very, very big difference. Let's say I was mashal you something and I asked you to pay for that privilege. What would that be called halachically? A soker. It's another one of the dalet shomrim. What if I was malva you something and I asked you to pay for that privilege? I'd be called a Russian and pasul eidus, and I would be saying to Russia Shalmosher Rabbeinu Plaster because I'd be violating the law of Ribbis. Right there too. Right? And the fundamental difference is lohotza nitna versus not lohotza nitna. It's not between money and not money. Right? It has nothing to do with the money and not money. If I lahalvote you instead of money, I lahalvote you eggs, then that's a halva, right? And I say, here, take 24 eggs and pay me back 20. Take 24 eggs, pay me back 25. That's halva. Therefore, there's an iser of ribbis because you're supposed to you're supposed to use it up. Yeah.
Is it like a rule of Rashi has to be saying it's a different note so also because he thinks that repeat from Isa is a case right, so in the case. And repeat from Isa is a case
Yeah, you could say he's a, and theoretically you want to be nitchik, you say he's envisioning a case of Rechika Maisa of Pikadon, meaning Rechika Maisa could apply to Pikadon. Now it's a little funny, that's what the Bach points out and others, that maybe, well, Rashi and Baba Kama says Rechika Maisa couldn't apply to Pikadon, so you could get in trouble. But again, I don't like that way of reading Rashi anyway. Pash is Rashi talking about Milveh, so we'll stick with that. I'm happy. Now, what's the base of Machlok? Because the base of Machlok is what is the Milveh Lehotsa'a Nitna? Milveh, and the Gemara even has a machlokus. Is Taka Milveh Lotsa'a Nitna? Milveh not Lotsa'a Nitna? In Baba Kama, in Kiddushin, I mean, Daf Mem Zayin and Aleph. Now, what is the Chiddush of Milveh Lotsa'a Nitna? Right? Now, it's still this Rashi can be a big Chiddush. The Pashup Shat, what is the Pashup Shat? What is Milveh Lehotsa'a Nitna mean? What it means is that since it is intended for Hotsah, it immediately becomes Kenyan of the Loveh. That's the way everyone but Rashi reads the Kal Milvelotza'a Nitna. Milvelotza'a Nitna is obvious. Obviously, if I lend you $100, it's so you can spend it. What's the point of lending $100 you couldn't spend it? Then what good would it do to carry a $100 bill in your pocket? I don't know if you want to impress someone. That's highly unlikely. Right, so obviously Milveh Lotsa'a Nitna. The Klal Milveh Lotsa'a Nitna means that since it's Nitna Lotsa'a, it's already Hotsa'a. When I give you $100 as a, or Israel here, when I give you 100 shekel as a loan, Then, when I give it to you, I'm actually being makne that money to you, legamre. I have now totally given you this money, ki'ilu as a matana, and now you just owe me to pay me back money sometime. And even if you give me back the same money, it's not that I gave it to you as a matana, and then you give it back to me as a matana to pay the loan, but it immediately transfers to your rishus. That's the standard understanding why everyone rejects Rashi. However, Rashi seems to say that no, milvelo tsa nitna just means that really, right? He says exactly love is only kone b'shas hotza. That milvelo tsa nitna means the love is only kone when he spends the money. Until he spends the money, he hasn't been kone yet, and therefore, even though Rashi admits that once I give him the money, give him the right to spend it, and I say you have a loan for 30 days, I can't ask for it back till 30 days, he has the right to spend it, so he can keep this right to spend it, and he doesn't have to give it back to me yet. But once the 30 days are up, and I go to Bez and I say, where's my money, and he admits that he owes me, then mele, it's mine all along. If he ends up never spending it, then it's mine all along, because it was really only became his when he spent it. And when I give someone a mail, what I'm giving them is the right to spend it. The right to spend it, and then it'll become theirs. But until they spend it, it's still mine. That's a very fundamental machlokas. One could ask, according to Rashi, if that all mevelotzan, it means that you have the right to spend it, it becomes yours, then what's the big chiddush? Why is that a machlokas in Kiddush? Like, isn't it obvious that you have the right to spend it? Is it obvious that once you spend it, it becomes yours? Because, like, you're giving it to the grocer. So Rashi and Kiddush said, no. There's the manda omer, or at least a hot meal, mobile envelopes on it. And there's some people who think you're not allowed to spend the halva. What does that mean? You're only allowed to invest the halva. There's one opinion that says you're only allowed to invest the halva. Milvot son, it means you don't have to invest the halva. You're allowed to spend the halva. Oh, if you spend it, how will you pay me back? You'll worry about that when the time comes. That's the chiddush. Milvot halva, it just means you don't have to invest it to make sure that you'll pay me back. You're allowed to spend it and then worry about paying me back. Milvot son, but until you spend it, it's not yours. So that's a fundamental machlokas about halva.
How do we learn the Rashi? Rashi
and Kiddushin still is very tricky. Meaning Rashi and Kiddushin still says that if I lend a girl money, even if it's the N, and I say I rate with Kadesh Lee, it doesn't work because I already gave it to her. Sounds like a steer to Rashi here, right? Rashi here says, mine will come up and shame. Rashi over there says, I can't be in touch with the girl because I already gave it to her. Rashi there sounds like the other Rishon. So, I think what you have to say is that there's a difference between Rashi would have to differentiate between during the time of the loan and after the time of the loan. Over here, I'm suing you, it's after the time of the loan is up. It's mine, it's welcome, Shane. Over there, I think Rashi is saying that within the time of the loan, since she has the right to spend it, I can't take that right to spend it away from her. Therefore, that's not considered a real nesina, because even if I'm giving her something, it's something that she had the ability to spend anyway, the irrevocable ability to spend anyway, because I can't ask for it back for 30 days, and if she spends it within 30 days, then I can't ask for that money back anyway. So I think that's what you have to say for Rashi, that within the 30 days, even though you haven't been kone yet, since you have the right to be kone it, therefore I can't give it to you for kiddushin. Over here we're talking about when the loan is due. Obviously, why am I suing you? I'm suing you when the loan is due. Even though it's not due, you're agreeing to, you know, to make the due date earlier by saying heilach. So I think in that case you would say the money's just mine, call makom
shehein. Which would probably require less than the not to the...
So that's an interesting question. I think clearly Rashi would say that when the time for pirona has come and it's still the end, I can be makdashit.
Sure.
The question is whether I can be makdashit during the time of the loan. My intuition is no, because it should be like some concern of Rishuso, since I don't have the ability to get it back because you could spend it. That's my intuition, but I can't promise you. Because if you can be Makshin and you can't be Mekadosh a woman, then you have to make Hindushin about being Mekadosh a woman, then you have to come on to the famous pattern of the Rambam there that the Griz mentions in the Mechtavim in the back of the Chibra and the Rambam. Okay, that's one machlokas. Now, the question is that Rashi adds most b'chol makom shein. The question is, does Rashi go even further? And what does the Urza Ruah say? The Urza Ruah says, basically, he says, why did Rashi feel so strong? I mean, what's the Pshat Lashon of Halach? Pshat Lashon of Halach sounds like it's yours b'chol makom shehein, or I'm handing it over to you. What do you think the Pshat meaning of the words is? Pshat meaning of the words is handing it over to you, right? Meaning it could be that it's yours b'chol makom shehein that counts as Halach. But the simple Pshat in the words sounds like Halach. Or literally, Halach is Halach, meaning he made Lacha. In we're translated into Ivrit Mikrait. Right? He made Lacha sounds like it's something that's in front of us. Right? Not that's conceptually in front of our intellect. So why did Rashi say, Lo Hotseisim Shecha B'chol Makom Shehein? Why didn't Rashi just say, hey look, here's the money? So, why didn't Rashi just say, hey look, here's the money? So what do most people understand in Rashi?
Why that question on Rashi? It's a question also on Pikadon.
But, no. My question is that, not what counts as Halach. What are you going to interpret as the classic introductory case of Halach? That's the only question on Rashi. The first time we meet Halach in Shas, right? How is Rashi going to introduce us as a classic easy example of Halach? So, I would have said, the classic easy example of Halach is I'm handing over the money. Rashi says, yours b'chol makom shehein.
Why are you assuming this is the classic, that this is Rashi's introductory example?
Okay, I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, why? Stop. So, what are most Rishonim Madaik in Rashi? That is second Machlokas.
It's only as a kavanah.
Say better. Lefi, the Rishonim, but not Lefi the Bach. What did Rishonim say within Rashi? So, it's in the Ramban, it's in the Rashi, it's in the Ritva implicitly. I think the Urza Ruah, according to Agos Hashiri, is the most explicit. He says, they changed the pages. I can't find it anymore. Did they change the letters in the Bach also? All right, I give up. Here we are. Okay. Right, from the Urza Ruah. What does the Urza Ruah say, based on Rashi? He says, he goes further. He says, Halach is only Shelcha B'kol Makom Shehein, not if you're no same miyad b'bezdin. So says the Urza Ruah again. Avol omer l'cha'en l'chad b'yelei el'chamish me'en v'heilech v'imos acherim. If I give you a different 100 shekel bill in bezdin, right, if you say, don't you owe me 200 shekel, I say, I admit 100 shekel, and here it is in bezdin. The Urza Ruah says, that's not heilech. Halach is only if you say it's yours b'chol makom shehein. If I actually hand it over to you in Bezdin, but it's not yours b'chol makom shehein, obviously it's yours b'chol makom shehein and I bring it to Bezdin, it's no worse. But if I give you 100 shekel in Bezdin out of my wallet, that's not Halach. And that's what's Mashmi Rashi. Where's that Mashmi Rashi? Because when Rashi says, what is Halach? He says, Halach is, I didn't spend it, it's yours b'chol makom shehein. And he doesn't say the more obvious case, which is Halach is, Halach, here's the money. Therefore, the diuk in Rashi is that no sinyan mezin doesn't count as halach. It only counts as halach if the exact same money or pikadon is around, and I say it's yours b'chol makom shehein. And here's what the Bach says: can't be. That's ridiculous. Why is that ridiculous? I mean, it's not so pashut. His taina first. That's ridiculous because obviously mavlo tzadnitna means that a milveh is never shalcha b'chol makom shehein, so Rashi can't be milveh, which is not so obvious. Rashi could disagree with everyone else. And B, once it can't be milveh, then we're stuck with only pikadon, and it can't be pikadon, because according to Rashi and Bava Kama, there's no one who mixes by pikadon anyway. Which is also not such a strong kasha, because it's not clear that Rashi and the rest of Shas agrees with Rashi and Bava Kama. This could be, as you know, there's a big deal in the Achronim, whether Rashi all over Shas has to agree with himself or not, and Rashi in many places in Shas doesn't sound like that Rashi and Baba Kama anyway. So, l'maisa, the Bach's timers don't convince me, but the Bach's pshat is still possible. What does the Bach say? Rashi wasn't telling us what is the case of Hela. They read Rashi as Rashi is Davka. What's the case of Hela? It's yours b'chol makom shehein. But if I say it wasn't yours b'chol makom shehein, but here's $100, that's not Hela. The Bach says yours a Ruah and the Rishonim. But the Bach says Rashi is, right?
Lirvusa.
What Rashi meant is, obviously, if I actually hand you the money in Bezin, that's Halach. What do you mean? You don't earn it. That's Halach. Here's the money. I want to teach you the Chiddush that even Ma'os, that B'chol Makom Shehein, which you might not have realized is Halach, also counts as Halach. Obviously, physical Halach is Halach. I want to teach you the Chiddush that virtual Halach is Halach. So according to the Bach, there's no Machlokas. There's no second machlokas between Rashi and the other Rishonim. Rashi agrees that no Sabiyan Bezdin is Halach. But according to the Urza Ruach, who actually paskins this way, and according to the mainstream Rishonim, who don't paskin this way, but think that's what Rashi says, for example, I just opened the Rashba. So the Rashba says, Ulafi pi Rishah Mashma. The low shayach halach, unless pikadon or karga, that's shalcha b'chol makom shehein. Hamil v'de almalo, it's not even shayach halach in a regular case of halvava. Why? Because giving the money is not halach. And then he rejects Rashi. So everyone rejects Rashi and reads him not like the Bach. The Urza Ruach accepts Rashi and reads him not like the Bach. So the Bach says Rashi didn't mean to make a second chiddush. One chiddush is enough. But the other Rishonim say, or sorry, the Rishonim, say that no, Rashi really meant to make a second chiddush that no sinyan bezin doesn't count as halach, only shalcha b'chol makom shehein counts as halach. What's the svar about with what they're arguing about here in this? Right, this is the first machlokas, and here's the svara. The second machlokas, if you hold not like the Bach, what svar are they arguing about? I don't know if it's a very lundish. I don't know how to analyze as far as Lundus, they might just be arguing out of Pashat Svara. What's the Machlokas? The Machlokas is, what does it mean, Nosei Miyad Bebezdin? Nosei Miyad Bebezdin means that I'm offering you the money right now. If I'm offering the money to you right now, is that really paid? Is that really paid if I'm offering you the money right now? After all, you haven't necessarily taken the money yet, right? I'm offering the money to Bebezdin, you haven't taken it yet. And even if you do take it, you haven't taken the money yet. And even if you do take it, like you're taking it now, originally, like it was, you were really chayiv to me, so I think it could very well be, let's just say what the Yisod of the Machlokas is, it could be just, the Rishonim say that, say this the best. 1 second. No say miyad bebezdin. The Rishonim say that is obvious halach, and the Bach halach, and Rashi, according to everyone else but the Bach, says that is not halach. So the Chor, what's the machlokes? The Rishonim say this is considered piraon, and the case is closed. Right? Piraon, and the case is closed. And Rashi would say that even though even though he's offering the money, case closed, and therefore it's mafkia the taina, Rashi would say that now he's paying, but since he owed him the Shas Taina, the Taina still stands. So I think that they would just be having a technical machlokas. What's Rashi saying? If it's shalcha b'chamakam shehein, then it was yours even before you made the taina. Then taka, we never discussed this with you. It was yours all along. This is too obvious. But if I'm paying you now, then now I'm paying you. But we still had a taina. Now, it was still part of the court case because I didn't pay you until after we made our tainas. The other Rishonim would say, no, once I pay you now, b'shas taina, then it's ready mufka from the court case.
Yeah, that's all within like the first kind of perspective on halach.
That's all within the first perspective on halach, correct. Basically, within the social perspective on halach, then there's nothing to discuss even, because it's ludicrous to say like Rashi. Within the psychological perspective on halach, I have trouble figuring out how to analyze it, because it's just, like, I don't know, like, I could just make things up. So that's why I'm speaking to the mainstream perspective on halach. Theoretically, if you said, I'm speaking to the mainstream perspective on halach, and then I just have to say it's a technical machlokas, I don't have lum to say about it, that this is a borderline case. On the one hand, when you asked me for the money and I admitted that I owed you the money, I really owed you the money. It was really a live case, which had to be clarified. But at the same time it gets clarified, it also gets, the case gets closed. So Rashi would say, no, that doesn't count as halach. What do you mean? That's a live case. There was a taina, there was a hoda, and then you paid. But it's too late. It's already a lie. It's already part of your taina. The other Rishonim would say, no, as long as you pay immediately, that's considered to be not even a taina. The last machlokas I want to analyze is, Raps, can you make me room for a last machlokas? Yeah.
I just can't read that last word.
Stands. Apologize. The, the last machlokas that we want to analyze is, something that we already analyzed. This three is what about Pikadon Bechol Makom Shehu? So, the standard Rishonim assumed that that's Halach. Why? Because even though I'm not physically giving it to you, but wherever it is Bershus Bailim. And therefore, there's no discussion here. It was yours all along. You never asked me for anything. I never gave you anything. It was just always yours. It was like, for example, let's say you say to me, don't you have Elsie, my cow? And I say, oh, she's in your house. So I'm saying that's not anything. You didn't ask me for anything. I didn't give you anything. Right? So, Pikadon Bechol Makom Shehein is... It's already paid. I already gave it to you. How did I give it to you? Because it's yours just wherever it is. So it's just as good as halach. That's Rav Rishonim. It's halach because it's taka yours wherever it is. One second. Who argues on this? The Rambam seems to argue on this. Right? The Rambam is mashma that it's not halach. Because when the Rambam says, what's the case of halach? He only says nosei miyad. He doesn't say anything about virtual nosei miyad. This is like a virtual nosei miyad, right? Really, you can come pick it up tomorrow, but wherever it is, it's already in your rishus. So the most rishonim say that's classic halach. The Rambam sounds like it's not, and of course this is a famous machlokas between, this is not famous, the Rambam's not famous about this. There's a famous machlokas between the most famous knockdown, drag out fight in all of Bava Metzia. Is this only the first half of Bava Metzia? That's a shame. There's a whole little kuntres called the Divrei Rivos. It's a kuntres called Divrei Rivos. You can't buy it as a separate book, the Divrei Rivos. It's found in, published in a bunch of Svarim. Nowadays, the best version with footnotes is in the Raivos Tshuvos U'Psakim, which is compiled by Rav Kafach, Simon like Lamed Vav to Mem Dalet or something. And Daf Tzadi Ches, there's the Sugya of the Gimel Paros of Rami Bar Chama. I mean, it's a little more complicated than Rami Bar Chama's original Gimel Paros. And the Ravid and the Balamor had a terrible fight about this. And they wrote letters back and forth. There's about 9-10 letters back and forth between them as Kedaka Bakodesh, if you remember the Ravid and the Balamor, full of colorful and insightful put-downs, as well as sharp and insightful analyses of the relevant sugyas and rayas and dechiyas back and forth. It's a great machlokas. It didn't start about Halach, but it... definitely ended up with a significant chunk of halach in this machlokas. That's the famous Divrei Rivos knockdown drag-out fight between the Raiva and the Balamor. It's summarized. That's why I put on the Makoros, just a sheet of Gebetzes. I don't have to, I only have to like Aleph. There summarizes the Divrei Rivos, and I gave you like a little excerpts from it, right? And Daf Tzadik Ches there. He leaves out all the good insults. So if you want those, you'll have to look in the original.
Which Siman is it?
What?
Which Siman is it in the Divrei Rivos?
You mean in the Chuvos of Pesukim?
Yeah.
Isn't it like Lamed Vav starts it or something?
Like a whole bunch of them.
What? Oh, not Shut Divrei Rivos. Shut Divrei Rivos is someone else. It's probably someone who lived 500 years later or something. No. Not the Shut Divrei Rivos. This was called the Divrei Rivos, and then someone else started to write a Shut Divrei Rivos. All the names get recycled by now. This is a big fight between the Raiva and the Balamor. And one of the items which the Raiva and the Balamor fought over in the Divrei Rivos is exactly this issue. Can you have halach if you don't hand it over and you say b'kadim kol makom shehu? And in the Divrei Rivos, the Razah, the Balamor, Razrach Yalevi, said like the Nashim Shabbat was shown. And he says, pashut, that wherever the b'kadim is, if I say I'm admitting it's yours, and I'm admitting it's a b'kadim, then wherever it is, it's in your hand. And that's halach. That's like virtual handing it over. Pashut, and the Raivid disagreed with him and said, absolutely not. Halach is only if you hand it over. You can't have halach based on it being yours. B'chol makom shehu. So the Raivid is very explicit, and the Rambam sounds like that as well. They each have a very strong Gemara on their side. They each have a very strong Gemara on their side. Which is exactly what the Raivin and Almor argue back and forth about. The Raivin says, he has a right for a comic of Haman base. Ki Tanya, he become really halach. Ki kamina dekayim ba'agam. That brisa is when you give him the cow and say halach. I'm talking about when the cow's in the agam and you're not giving it to him. That gemara sounds very, very clear. Like a pikanim kol makom shehu is not halach. It's a mafurish gemara like the Raivid. So that is the Raivid's raya. Is baba kama kofeyim and beis kaima ba'agam. Is not halach. That's very explicit. That Bryce is halach. I'm talking about kaima ba'agam. Clearly, a pikadon, and it's clearly pikadon, that's kaima ba'agam, it's one of the Dalet Shomer, and that's the case, is not called halach. So that's explicit like the Raivid. The Balamor is doche. That's a different context. It says the Gemara in Bava Kama is not talking about Shavuos Modim Mitzvahs. It's just talking about like someone asking someone for their cow. So yeah, in the Gemara in Bava Kama, they use the word halach to mean only if you hand it over, not to mean the pikadon that's in the agam. But not to mean the pikadon that's in the agam. But that has nothing to do with Modim Mitzvahs. They're not talking about Modim Mitzvahs. They're not talking about halach in terms of Modim Mitzvahs. They're just using the word halach. You can use the word halach one way in one sugya. And a different way in a different sugya. That's all the Rishonim say. They use the word halach one way in one sugya, but that's not the way we're using it in our sugya. Every halach can mean different things, not in different masechtos and shas, but in different contexts. It can mean different things. In terms of modim mitzvahs, that's still called halach. The big raya, for the reason why none of the Rishonim agree with the Raivid, for the Rala Moore brought for himself, is from Daf Hayam and Aleph. Daf Hayim and Aleph in the sixth line says Tashma. This honey bar mechamar bar shom and tzuchin kfir makes the dodav makes the shemachinim asholim losuzakver heichidami lav de armer lehelach. Isn't it a case of halach? Rami bar Chama says, well, arba shomrim are only chayiv a shvua if it's shvua moda b'miktzas if they're moda on a cow. So isn't it obviously halach? The Gemara says no, it's not a case of halach. How can I be moda on a cow that's not halach? You gave me a cow to watch. How am I moda without saying halach? The answer is, I say, I admit that I was Moshe, I made a die, and I owe you money. So now, what does the Gemara say? Isn't a stam cow halach? Now, why do they think a stam cow is halach? Right? Isn't a stam cow halach? Why do they think stam cow is halach? Because a stam cow is a pikadon, right? You're not lending people, you're not malvet people cows. You're mashil cows. In this case, you're mashil the cow. This is all arba shomrim, right? It's arba shomrim. He's an arba shomrim. A cow of shmirah. Shmirah is pikadon. Means the exact same thing in halachic code language. Right? A cow of pikadon is halach. That's what the Gemara says. Lavdom lehi. Isn't a cow of pikadon halach? So that was the raya of the other rishonim, which is Babutsia. Ham and Aleph, they said, isn't a pikadon halach? Right? Lavdom lehi. Isn't a pikadon halach? So that shows that a stam pikadon is halach. What will the raven, not what will, how did the raven get out of that? The Ravid says, a little dachik, no, v'havamina on daf hayam and aleph, is that the cow was in Besdin. And the havamina, not that he thought it'd be cutting anywhere as halach. It's a little bit dachik, which is why most people don't do this. The havamina daf hayam and aleph is that, isn't a case of halach, the stomach of the cows in Besdin? The stomach, if you're fighting over these cows, you bring them to Besdin? The answer is no, Taka, you don't bring them to Besdin. Of course, why didn't they just say it's not in Besdin? Why did they have to say it died? Alright, a little dachuk. But the Ravid managed to get out of the Gemara. So basically, everyone has a Gemara on their side. The Ravid thinks, I have a foolish Gemara that Kadom out grazing in pasture is not halach. And the Baal Mor says, that's a foolish Gemara about using the word halach in a non-voted mixus context. I don't care. And the Baal Mor says, I'm a foolish Gemara in daf hey that says it Bikadon is halach. Doesn't that mean wherever Bikadon is halach? The Ravid says, no, that Gemara just meant that they thought you brought the Bikadon to Besdin and handed it over. That's obviously halach. Bisseder. What's the basis, what's the yesod of their machlokas? And there's an in-between shita. An in-between shita actually is quoted in the Me'iri here as well as in the Shut Mimdeim, which I put in the brackets. But the Me'iri here quotes, what was the in-between shita of the Me'iri? The Me'iri here says, Halach Zeth. Pirsha Barab Mishum Mosor Achshav. Umikomakam Chachmin Zafatim Pirsha Afishim Nothlachshav Shomalo. It says, Mishchabachomakam Shehem. Varaya the Devehem, etc. So he says, look, a raya for the Baal Mor, which he's close to the Chachmin Zafatim, is that the Dwarin Dafheim Aleph. Umikomakam, he says, Dafka Koshi Makshav Yurtsa Law Lomer, Heviyehu Li Loy Hisham Dover Ma'akev, Koshi Ikabav, also Ain Zahalach. But right, Rashi Amperka goes over in an Acher. He admits it's in Acher. Shabehema, Kitani, he don't really have Kamehana to Kamehba Ba'agam. But in any case, we have another way of explaining that. So what does he say? He says that yeah, Pikadon b'chol makom shehu is halach, but only b'chol makom that it's very easy to retrieve it from. If it's a makom like an agam, what is an agam? It's just out to pasture and. You never know, like maybe it'll be hard to find out in pasture, right? Maybe someone will steal it from the pasture. Then that's not halach. So the Me'iri here quote, it takes an in-between shita. That's also quoted in the Tumim Deyim, Seven Reish Yod. Tumim Deyim is at the beginning of a lot of shuts of the Ravid, but at this part it's just random shuts and this one doesn't have a name on it. So there's an in-between shita, which is the Me'iri, even though he says he explained it elsewhere here, but the Me'iri Khan and the Tumim Deyim, which is a shut of a lot of early Rishonim, Simon Reish Yud, if you don't know who wrote, says it depends if it's in a, basically, if it's in a safe nearby place, then that's called Halach. If it's in the Agam, then that's not Halach. Yes?
Didn't we say the logic of the Pikadon is that it's still technically...
Okay, so hold that thought. Now, let's just ask very simply, what's the basis of the Machlokas between the Rambam Ravid versus the Baal Mor and the Rishona? What's the Yesod of the Machlokas? So I think the Yesod of the Machlokas, you can analyze it more than one way. Here we have the Raza and the Rishonim, and here we have the Ravid and the Rambam. One way we analyze it is that they might be arguing about the Ketzos. The Ketzos is shot, right? This might be shot in the Rambam. One way of analyzing it is they're arguing what? The Svara of Halach. The Rambam and Ravid might hold like the Ketzos. The Svara of Halach is that your Hodah was not necessary. If I hand it to you, my Hodah is not necessary. If the item is elsewhere, then of course my Hodah is necessary, because I can't do a Kinyan and give it to you as a Matana. The only way I can make it yours is through Hodah. While the Raza and Rav Rishonim hold that it is a Hafkasa Taina, like the mainstream way. So it could be that one way of being the Machlokas is that the Balamor and the Rishonim hold with their argument, what's the Yisod of Halach? The Balamor and the Rishonim say, what's the Yisod of Halach? The Yisod of Halach is that it's already paid back. Once it's already paid back, so there's no Taina on it anymore. Therefore, I can pay it back by handing it over to you, or I can pay it back by making it yours b'chol ma'at, telling you it's yours b'chol, telling the bezdin it's yours b'chol makom shehem. Well, the Rambam and the Rabbi say, no, the Yisod of Halach is that it doesn't count as a Hodah if I gave it to you as a Matana already. So if I'm handing it over to you, I gave it to you as a Matana. But if it's elsewhere, and I just say, b'chol makom shehem, it's yours, then that's a Hodah. The only way to make something yours that's elsewhere is to be modeh, that it's yours. I can't make a Matana because there's no Kenyan Mashicha, and there's not even Kenyan Kesser, Shtar, Chazak, or Chalipin, or anything else. That's one way of analyzing it. Another way of analyzing it is that they're arguing about what counts as what counts as a closed case? Taka, what counts as a closed case? Really, if I give you, here I hear this far. If I say, 100 shekel, here's 100 shekel. Then Taka, the case is over, it's done, right? There's nothing more. What if I say, two cows? Well, for one cow, it's yours. It's right down the street in the field. It's yours. Is that case closed? Like, have you gotten it back? Right? It's yours b'chol makom shehem. So, have you gotten what you asked for?
No, you could be not kindly.
Have you gotten? No. You say, I want the cow. I say, yeah, it's yours b'chol makom shehem. Have I given you back the cow? Well, yeah, it's yours b'chol makom shehem. On the one hand, yes, it's yours b'chol makom shehem. On the other hand,
no kinyan.
What do you mean? You don't need a kinyan. It's yours b'chol makom shehem.
I can't use it right now.
It could be, they would say that formally, right? They would look at formally, have you gotten the cow back? Yes. B'chol makom shehem, it's yours, right? But on the other hand, what if you look at it practically? What could the Ravid say? Practically, have you gotten your cow back?
Well, if there's a storm and it gets hit by lightning.
Exactly. Not necessarily, because maybe I left it out in the Agam, but I was posheya and left the gate open and it's going to escape. Maybe I left it out in the Agam and it's going to get stolen. And I may, I'm a shoel or a socher. It was chayav on death. Maybe it'll be nanas. Not only that, maybe I'll go to the Agam street from Bezdin and I'll take it someplace else. Right? Practically, you're not satisfied yet. Because yes, it's yours b'chol makom shehem. But, you don't really know if you're going to get your... You don't really feel like you've won the case because you don't know if you're going to get your cow back or not. This is what's mashma from the Lashon of the Ravid. Because I don't have Lashon of the Ravid here, but if you remember, it's Lashon Shivim Gubetz, as he said, that how can you say that's considered halach? Maybe it'll be nanas and he won't get it back. So this is what it sounds like from the Ravid. It sounds like from the Ravid that he's not saying the ketzos. It's not that he's saying, no, I have a totally different derech of halach. I hold like the ketzos, and therefore it can be no halach when it's not in Bezdin. He says, no, I understand you're happy to say it's halach when it's not in Bezdin, because after all, you've given it back already. But no, you haven't really given it back already, because how do you know I'll really get it back? You've formally ki'ilu given it back, but I'm not really satisfied. The case isn't closed. because I don't have my cow back yet. What if I don't end up getting my cow back? Taka, how do you say the tiniest nifka, the case is closed? What if I never end up getting the cow? Then we're going to continue discussing it, right? Then I'm going to have to say, well, remember, you admitted it, now you have to pay. So who says the case is over? I might get my cow, I might not get my cow. And clearly, this is clearly the svara of the Me'iri, right? What is the Me'iri saying? What the Me'iri is saying, the Me'iri is compromise. The Me'iri is compromise, not because he's a different shot in Halach. He says, no, I know, it's all about whether the case is closed or not. But I think the answer is this is the practical answer. I think the Me'iri says, I think the reason for the right is practical. And therefore, he's half right, half wrong. If it's just in my backyard down the street, then that the case is closed. If it is in the Agam, which is a dangerous place where it's not so clear what's going to happen, then it is basically, if it's in my backyard down the street, and I can say, just bring it to me, and like, obviously, like, it's right there, like, it would be, take a miracle for something to happen to it, then that's good enough, then the case is closed. But if it's someplace where it's hard to get to, and you say, I'll bring it to you next week, I have to go look for it, then that's not good enough. So that's another way of analyzing it. Why doesn't the Raivid admit it's yours b'chol makom shehein? Maybe he says, because technically it's yours b'chol makom shehein. But I still might not get my cow back, and therefore my tainus still stands, because I don't know what's going to happen.
So the Raivid would say the same thing about halva, right? Because you would have to make the same argument that there wouldn't be halach, because halva also is b'chol makom shehein.
For sure. I mean, but everyone except for Rashi says that halva b'chol makom shehein. So that's not even so interesting. What some of the modern day achronim want to say, though, is that really they're not arguing about halach. They're not arguing about what the sodom is. They're not arguing about just how to estimate halach. They're really arguing about shomrim, not about halach. They're both satisfied to just look at formally what happened. They're arguing about shomrim. What are they arguing about? Is it really valid to say, harei shalcha b'chol makom shehein? Now, obviously, it's true b'chol makom shehein. Question is, does it really close the case to say shalcha b'chol makom shehein? Let me ask you a simple question. Pretend you don't know the ketosin nesiv is the siman peivav. Okay, anyone prepared to volunteer to do that? Let's say I come to court and I say, didn't I lend you my car? And you say, the car. Yeah, the car is in Talpiyot, and it's your car. Just, go into it and drive it. Or, okay, car, you need the keys. It's not a car. Didn't I lend you my bicycle? The bicycle has a combination lock, right? You weren't supposed to share a combination lock. And you say to me, bicycle? Avada, the bicycle, sure. The bicycle's in, Haaretz Ofim. And you know the combination. Just go ride your bicycle. So, do I have any taina on you anymore? I say, where's my bicycle that I lent you, your shomer, pikadum? You say, b'chol makom shehein. I'll tell you exactly where it is. It's in Haaretz Ofim. It's in this particular building, on this bike rack, third from the left, and you know the combination, Shalom al Yisrael. So do I have a taina on you or not? Like, is there anything else I can demand? So can I demand that you bring it here? That's an interesting question. Can I demand that you bring it here? Now, obviously, if you're a nice guy, you're going to say, well, if you need your bike and you're nice enough to lend it to me, I'll bring it to you here. But can I demand that you bring it to me here? Or no, it's good enough for you to say, shalcha b'chol makom shehein. What do you think? Do I have the right to demand that you bring it here? So, now, obviously, if you left it someplace dangerous, of course I have the right to demand that you're a poshea if you don't bring it here. Let's say you left it someplace perfectly reasonable. You left it someplace perfectly reasonable. Can I demand that you bring it here? Now again, sometimes you're the bad guy. Come on, I'm going to have to shut the Haaretz Ofim. But you could easily imagine another case. Right, I'm sitting here, and I say, where's my bike? Right? You say, the bike? The bike's at shul. Aren't you going tomorrow tonight? I say, yeah, I am going tomorrow tonight. I say, but I don't want to wait tomorrow. I want you to bring me the bike right now. So do I have the right to tell you to bring me the bike right now? Or let's say the time's up, right? So I have the right, Or no, you can, maybe I'm being unreasonable. Why can't I just pick it up at shul tonight? No, I want my bike right now. I want to see it right now. Do I have the right to say that? So that seems to be a machlok between the Ketzos and the Nesivas in Simen Pei Vav. The Ketzos says in Simen Pei Vav, Sivkatan Dalid, says the Ktsos, and then he has a Meshov and the Sivas back, although I don't have that on the page right now. Says the Ktsos and some Hevavs have cut in Dalid. He says, the Tmiya Lituva says, what's the problem? He says, Nirla Neid Lefina is that Nirla Degav Vikadu Lo Shayach Klal Shibudu Rav Nosan. One second. The ain lomar da afagav the nifsa shomer lo shtavet el mishas pshiyav al chiyuvim yarami lahachshiv gam lebaylim. Don't say even though the shomer doesn't owe me money if nothing happened to it, he sells a chiyuv lahachshiv shomer lebaylim. Don't tell me he has a chiyuv to be master the bikadim to me. The also delese the hasamer gelan aris gavashol. Let's say no, he has no chiyuv. The shomer has no chiyuv hashava, and the nesivas takes him on and simkat na aleph, and the nesivas says. That's ridiculous. It's safer. So Sachoshen says, "Afilu chiyuv hazara lo maskol shas pshia." Unless something happens to it, unless your roshena gets ruined, there's no chiyuv hazara. There's no chiyuv hazara. Says vavadai lesa. What are you talking about? That kaven shaval yodim tarz bikadon sar glassos hashav v'gemura. He says, "This is what are you talking about? If I give you bikadon, you have a chiyuv hashava." So says, "No, you have no chiyuv hashava." What do you mean, the Ksos? You have no chiyuv hashava. You don't have to give me back my bikadon. So the Ksos explains, and the Meshov and the Sivas, in the, I don't know if it's in the back of this one, Ksos says, oh, Meshov and the Sivas, Gavaldik, right, that's where the Ksos writes back, anything, right, then the Sivas had better luck, right, he wrote it after he read it, so the Ksos, so he got to argue with the Ksos, so it's only fair to give the Ksos a chance to defend himself, so he wrote the Meshov and the Sivas, and they put it in the back here, and he says, what does he say? The Eino Chai Vashava L'Ganav V'Gazla. So it's only a Ganav V'Gazla has a Chiv Hashava. There's a Haitian. The Chain Lo V'Dul L'Tonenu. A Ganav V'Gazla has a Chiv to pay it back. A law has a chiyuv to pay it back. Why doesn't an arba shomer have a chiyuv to pay it back? Aval bikadon kol heichad the iser b'shus vaylami. Of course you have no chiyuv to give back the bikadon. It's already given back because wherever it is, it belongs to him. The al hamafkid leilach l'shus hanifgad lekabel pikdono mishum hachir lo bovatol shalach. So it says, no, the owner has to go to the house of the shomer to retrieve his bikadon. Now, okay, maybe he wouldn't admit you have to go to Haaretz Ofim, but clearly, if I lend you something, you live in Yerushalayim and I live in Tel Aviv, I have to go to your house to pick up my pikadon. The Nesiva says, no, you have to give the pikadon back to me. The Nesiva says, look, a borrower has to give it back, a thief has to give it back. A lova has to give it back, a thief has to give it back. Why shouldn't a shomer chinam, shomer sachar, socher, and shomel have to give it back? So says, I'll tell you why. A borrower has to give it back because he took the money and now he has to give it back. A thief has to give it back because he took it out of the rishus of the bainim and now he has to bring it back to the rishus of the bainim. A shomer doesn't have to give the pikadon back. Because it was in the rishus, though, even if it's in your house in Yerushalayim, it's really in my rishus. Why do you have to give it back? It's in my rishus all along, says the Ksos. And nafkmina lemaisa, do I have to go to your house to pick it up? Or do you have to come to my house to give it back to me? The original nafkmina they quote there, by the way, is the question of Shibudu de Rav Nasan. If, you know, if Josh owes me money and Yehuda owes him money, I can collect from Yehuda. If Josh owes me money, and he lent Yehuda and Josh owes me money, and he gave a pikadon to Yehuda, then Nesiva says, Shibud Rav Nasan, you owe to give the pikadon back to him, he owes the money to me, I can go to you. So it says, no, Shibud Rav Nasan, you don't owe anything. You don't owe him anything. It's his b'chol makom shehein. Therefore, I can't ask Yehuda for anything. Anyway, so what some of the Echronim suggest is that Gufa, this Machlok, Sos, and Sivas might be the Balamor and the Ravid aren't arguing fundamentally or technically about Halach. They're arguing about Pikadon. The Balamor Bechuli hold like the Sos. Right? The Sos says that, what does the Sos say? There is no Chiyuv Hashava. What did the Sos say? If I asked for my pikadon and you said, it's yours, just come and pick it up, then the case is closed. I can't tell you, but I want you to bring me the pikadon. I can't tell you, what do you mean you still owe me? Now, obviously, if it turns out an onus happens, it might end up that you'll owe me. But right now, I have nothing on you. The case is closed. You said it's mine, mechalakim shehein, and you said you have no obligation to me. What did you say? You want your cow? The cow is yours wherever it is. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I have nothing to do with you. I say, what do you mean nothing to do with you? Don't you have to give me back the cow? Accordingly, so say, no, I don't have to give you back the cow. It's yours. It's not my problem anymore. Well, the Nesivus would say, no. The Nesivus would say that even if you admit it's my cow and it's mine wherever it belongs, it's mine, but you owe me to give it back to me. And therefore, the case isn't closed. I can say, thank you for admitting it's mine, but I still have a taina against you. I want you to be machzer it to me. And therefore, since I still have a taina against you, the case isn't closed. And you still owe it to me. So that's the machlokas. Do you still owe the guy the pikadon or not? That's a mafurish. Tosfos and Nesivus. Tosfos says you don't owe the guy the pikadon.
So the
Nesivus says you do owe the guy. Even though it's his already, you owe him the pikadon because you owe him giving it back to him. In which case, it could be that the Raya just holds like the Nesivus, and this is what the Matan Yafrodim say, and the Balamor holds like the Tosfos.
According to this, Shad and Rash by Mova, if you borrow money and you never use it, it's still in Rishus of the Malva, therefore you wouldn't have to bring it back to him. He has to come get it.
No? That is a fascinating question. Theoretically, it could be that, again, you have to put things together, but theoretically you could come to that conclusion, perhaps. Yeah?
Then maybe there's a difference where the Nekuda and the Sira was. Because you can only, your expectations are based on how the original relationship was.
I hear that. But the Ketzos doesn't make it sound like that. Now, you're right. It may be that everyone would admit you can't leave it in Yemnesvelt. But how about a reasonable place for it? The Ketzos sounds like, regardless of where I gave it to you, I understand you could say, depending on the Kudat Mesirah. Ketzos sounds like, regardless of where I gave it to you, I have to go to your house to pick it up. And the Nesiva sounds like, regardless of where I gave it to you, you have to bring it to me. So you could say that.
It also might depend on who's doing who a favor.
Theoretically, you could, but the Ketzos doesn't seem to say that.
Don't you have a raya from Pikadon or something? You have like the case of the Haman or something. You have to give them back the Suslai, the Susyom. You're supposed to go get it. They don't have to bring it to you. You're supposed to go get it.
Okay, but that's talking about a Mashkon. So a Mashkon might have different demon than a regular Pikadon. Okay, so that's just a. I know it ended up being a little all over the place, but. Here we've had an exhaustive list of all the different sheets of the Rishonim as to what scenarios count as halach, what doesn't. We tried to analyze what underlied their machlokas, and we can't know for sure. But for example, in this most fascinating machlokas in the Raivid and the Balamor, they might be arguing about the Chakir, the Ketzos versus the other Mefarshim. They might just be arguing about whether to look at things practically or formally, or they might be arguing about a fundamental machlokas, Ketzos and Nesivus, as to whether there's a chiyuv for a shomer to be machzer the pikadon. Let's go on in the Gemara a little it is a little late. Let's try to copy a little more. Meisvi Slum Dinarim, the famous kasher Slum Dinarim, Malva Omer Chamesh, Velova Omer Shalish, Roshim Belazar Mahol Hoda Mixes Tiny Shava. Right, so that's classic mode of mixas. Right, Rekiva Omer Einu Elik Meshva Veda Upata. Rekiva says Meshva Veda. Why is it Meshva Veda? Because basically, I could have said two. If I had said two, I would have been sitting pretty, because it doesn't say the amount. So, Mestama two would be fine. Since I was nice enough to volunteer and say three, well, Rashi, as you know, this is the Rashi we mentioned, says Meshva Veda means Takana Drabanan. So, say Takana Drabanan, I was nice enough to say three. We want to encourage people to be nice, not punish them. And therefore, if I was nice enough to say three, but I totally could have gotten away with two, I'm a Meshav Aveda, and therefore we don't make me swear. According to Tosos, Meshav Aveda means Migo. So then it means Migo. If I say three, I could have said two and one. Why would I have one if I had said two? The Gemara's going to explain. And therefore, since I say three, I'm them of a Migo. Katani Mihas. Roshim and Elazar Omer Hol V'Hod makes a tiny Yeshava. Time and Omer Shalos Hashtayim Potter. The Diak is three. You have to swear two. Your Potter. Vayishtar Dikamodi BeHeilachu Ushma Mina Heilach Potter. Lo. So what we're trying to discuss here is Moshe. Could you just snap for a second? Because I don't remember what's what. The Gemara is trying to explain. Just shot in the Gemara. Three. We know what's the din of two. Three. three, we know what's the din of two. Right? So what's the din of two? So what does the Gemara say? What's the din of shtayim? So our initial diyuk is potter. Shtayim is potter. Right? The chosh shtayim is potter. Lekuli alma. Right? Ton of our argument. Shtayim. Why is shtayim potter? Must be because shtayim is halach. Shtayim, doesn't that prove halach is potter? Oshmami na halach potter. Lo liyolam emelach shtayim chayav. V'hai de katani shalosh. By the way, why is shtayim halach? You have a shtar that says I owe you dollars. Or sorry, where's Zionist here? You have a shtar that says I owe you shekels, shkalim, right? Chadashim. You have a shtar that I owe you shekels, and I admit too. All right, that's actually pretty boring. You have a shtar that says I owe you millions of shkalim. So I say 2 million, right? So why is that halach? Why is that halach? If I say I owe you 2 million?
That's the minimum
you want. What? Shtar is kigavoy. Shtar is kigavoy, right? Why is that halach? Because kol mashmas ashtar heilachu, says Rashi here, sherei karkos mishibadim al kach. Because of the shibud karka, why is ashtar heilach? Because of shibud karka. What does it mean? Why is ashtar heilach? Rashi says, because of the shibud karka. Why is a shibud karka heilach? Because, unlike, let's say, a case without a shibud karka, if I admit I owe you money, but then you still have to collect the money. If I admit I owe you money b'shtar, what does the shtar say? The shtar says at least 2 million. So I admit I owe you money b'shtar, then you have a shibud on my karka, right? Even if I sell the karka, whatever I do with, basically, you know, you have a shibud on my karka, it's yours b'chamakam shehein. Even if I sell it, you can still collect the karka. That's what shibud means. Even if I, you know, take it away someplace else and hide it, I can't. It's karka. You can't move it. So it's right there. It's munach hamein. It's basically yours. B'chol makom shehu. Right? That's right. If I want to, maybe I'll end up paying you money. It'll be more convenient for both of us if I give you cash instead, if I give you a wire transfer instead of the karka. But the karka is right there for you to take. Right? Therefore, it's halach because the shibud karka is shel shalom b'chol makom shehu. It's karka. Doesn't move. Okay. So doesn't that prove halach is potter? Rosh Hashanah. Lo, li olam elach shayim chayev. No, maybe shayim really chayev. Hadik nayin shalosh. I'll look at Rabbi Kiva. Dar meisha vedu. Patuk mashal when it makes the tainah havi ve chayev. Really, we say maybe shayim is chayev. If shayim is chayev, why are they only arguing about shalosh? To teach you, right, that you shouldn't, that not everyone agrees with Rabbi Kiva, who says three is meisha vedu. No, Rabbi Shimon Lozer says you're still chayev. So two is chayev and three is chayev. The only reason he said three is chayev is lafuk and Rabbi Akiva. Fine. Ihachi, Rashi Rabbi Elazar Omer Hov Hod makes the tiny shava after yishava mi boile. Then he should say after yishava. Not only two, but even three swears. Right? Elul Yom Shtayim Pater v'Hela Chayev. Really? No, Shtayim is Pater. That possibility doesn't really work out at all. If Shtayim is Pater, then it doesn't prove Hela is Pater. No, maybe that's Shtayim Shani Hachum Sayyeh Lishtara. Inami Shemdav Lishtar Shibet Karkos v'Nishman Al Kfir Shibet Karkos. So you have three different explanations. Maybe it's part of Halach, but maybe Halach is Chayev. We're defending Rav Chiya here. Maybe it's because of Misayelei Shtara, or maybe it's Potter because it's Amish Bain. Even though the Lashon is Amish Bain Al Kfir Shibud Karkos, what do they really mean? What? Exactly. Amish Bain Al Hodas Shibud Karkos. Right, what are they saying? The two that I was modeh is Shibud Karka. And there's no Shvu on Shibud Karka. I have nothing to do with Halach. Forget about Halach. No Shvu on Shibud Karkos because it's Karka. Karka Vadim Shtara Sarpater from Shvua. Okay, so this is fairly straightforward. What do you mean Misayel Shtara? Pashav Shad Misayel Shtara, not the Tosfos Rei Peretz. What do you mean Misayel Shtara? Really, if I'm two, I'm a modeh mitzvah, I should have to swear. But what? No, that wouldn't necessarily help because then I'll be Rav Chiya Kamaisa. Because
the shtar backs me up.
Exactly. So you're shtara. The standard understanding is the shtar backs me up. Who's me? Let's be very clear. The shtar backs the lova up. And therefore, even though I'm motive mitzas, I have evidence on my side, right? That's why the Baal Amor uses this as a proof that Eichud is potter min Shvuah. Says, look, if you have evidence on your side, you're potter from Shvuah, right? What's the evidence I have on my side? Meseyah Lishtara. What's the evidence? The Shtar says millions. The odds are, we can't prove. It could be 2 million, could be 3 million, could be 4 million, could be 100 million. But why would anyone only write millions in a Shtar? Probably because it was only two, because wouldn't it be weird to like write millions if you had 3 million? So it's only two, therefore I have a riot that I'm telling the truth. Since I have a riot that I'm telling the truth, I'm potter from a shvuah. Okay, great. Ika the most be safer. Some this another version is the parallel discussion of the safer. Kiva Omar Inu Alakmesh Vaveda U Potter. Right? Rabbi Akiva says that Patrik is a Meshav Aveda. Time and Dharma Shalosh, Shashtayim Chayim. The Diak is 3 is Meshav Aveda. 2 is clearly not Meshav Aveda, right? I mean, I'm not being nice. I have no choice. Right? So 2 is Chayiv. Av Ashtar Dikamodi Be Kehelech Dami. Shema Mina Helech Chayiv. So doesn't that prove Helech is Chayiv? Because 2 is Chayiv. Lo, the only way of Shtayim Nami Patrik. No, really, Rabbi Akiva says Shtayim is Patrik. Vahai Dikamodi Shalosh, Lafugim Midrashim Alazar. Maybe, you know, everyone agrees that 2 is potter. The only reason Akiva says 3 is potter and brings a Meshav Aveda is Lafuke from Rosh Hashanah Lazar. Hachinam Mistaber, it's actually Mistaber that 2 is potter, meaning in the end the possibility 2 is Chayiv doesn't work. Why? Right, in the end, Shtayim being Chayiv just doesn't work. Why? Because then Rabbi Akiva doesn't. How is it Meshav Aveda? If 2 would be Chayiv, how is 3 Meshav Aveda? Meshav Aveda means I'm being nice. We shouldn't penalize me for being nice. Or like the Migu, it's a proof that I'm just being nice. Right? But that means, why am I being nice? Because I could have said 2 and walked away. I'm saying 3. But I could have said 2 and had the Shvuah. Maybe only saying 3 to get out of the Shvuah. That's not being nice. So if you look at it as being nice like Rashi, Meshav Aveda is about being nice. There's no niceness there. Maybe I'm saying 3 to get out of the Shvuah. And if you look at it like Tosa, Meshav Aveda is Migo, then obviously there's no Migo there. What kind of Migo is there? Believe me, because I could have said 2. No, if I'd said 2, I would have had to swear. So obviously there's no Migo there. But if I was a liar, I would have said 2. No, maybe I'm a liar and I didn't want to say 2, because I didn't want to swear. So then, obviously, Shtayim is Potter, and then we just have the exact same Shaklavataria. Elakash of Chia, doesn't that prove Halach is Potter? Because the Potter must be Halach. No, there are two other ways of explaining the Potter. Shiny husband of Zayel Shtar, Inam Shadav Lishtar, Shibin Harkos, Vinishman, Apir, Shibad, Karkos. Okay. This is the sugya. Now, before we get into actually Shtayim, let's just look for a second at Shalosh, right? Let's look for a second at Shalosh. So what does Rabbi Akiva say, right? And to make it simpler, let's go with the truth. The truth is that Shtayim is Potter, right? Basically, if Shtayim would be Chayav, then Rav Shimon Lodge would make a lot of sense. Rabbi Akiva would be very difficult. The Gemara says he's mafrach. He's a very bad havamina to call it Meshav Aveda. So let's leave this side. Let's stay. Let's assume Shtayim is potter, which is not something the Gemara must be. So what's the machlok? It's about Shalosh. So Rabbi Akiva, who makes more sense, Rabbi Akiva or Rav Shimon Lodge? Right? Who makes more sense, Rabbi Akiva or? Or Shem Min Elazar. Shtayim is Potter. What should we say about Shalosh? What?
Because he's Potter for Shtayim. And he's...
But maybe he's only Potter for Shtayim because Shtayim is Karka. The third one's not Karka. Why? Because clearly the third one's not Karka. That's only Milval Peh. Ah, maybe that's what the Shtar meant. No. Karka means that Shibud Karkos, I can be Torif Lekuchos because I have a Shtar with me. Obviously, the Lekuchos are only going to admit there's 2 million in the Shtar, right? So the third is not Karka, the third is not Halach, the third is certainly not Meseyel Lishtara. There's no Siyu in the Shtar, there's Dafka 3 million. So why should Rabbi Akiva say 3 is Potter? Well, he tells us why. Because Meshav Aveda, which, according to Tosos, at least means Migo, right? So Rabbi Akiva makes a lot of sense. Potter, Migo the Shtayim. How about, right? Rav Shimon Elazar. Why does he think you're chayiv? Doesn't he admit you have a migu d'shtayim? So this is a Tosu we already read. What does Tosu say? The last one, Dalma Alfim, Tomi Yinema Mi Shalosh Mi Gudubay Yomer Shtayim. That's not a Kasher Rekiva. That is what Rekiva says. Why didn't Rishim Allah say Nema Mi Gudushtayim? The Ishlomar came in the Halach Pater, Imi Yomer Shtayim, Averle Kofra Kol, Vain Adam Meyes. So what does he say? What is supposed to say? Tosu says, "In Tintzolomar, Halach Pater." Right? Then, Shtayim is Ha'aza, because it's Halach. Ah, that's when we think Halach is Pater. What about the next stage of Nimar when we think Halach is Chayim and two is Pater for a different reason? So Tos says the Olam Shtayim Chayev, next Tosos. Now he's explaining the silly Havamina. Maybe even if two would be Chayev Shvu, there's some brief Havamina until we realize it doesn't work out. That Rabbi Akiva should consider you a Meshav Avedim when you said three, because still, like, you could have said two because, like, it will make people think you're telling the truth, then that would be your natural inclination. If you say three, that's really being nice. All right. The own Stein Padme Halach Chayev. What if Halach is Chayev, says Tosos? What if Halach is Chayev, Tosos says, in Tinsalomar, Halach is Chayev, then why can't you have a Migo that you could have said Stein? After all, if Halach is Chayev, then Halach is Modem Mitzas, and it's not Ha'aza. So what does say? Yom Tomer came the Halach Chayev. Yomer Nami Shtayim Eni Kofar Kol. Chiyomer Shalosh Einema B'Migud Yivar Yomer Shtayim. U'Mai Tam Yishem Min Elazar. Yishlomer Dispirlei Demasher Shtar Masayu Eni Toin Beratzon. Lufishen Nira Shemach Vashtar Modirin Loya Shtar Eni Kofar Hakol. What does Tosu say? Then why is Shtayim Ha'aza? Shtayim is Ha'aza for a different reason. Why Shtayim Ha'aza? Because you're only admitting the bare minimum, right? You're only admitting what you have to. So why is it not other to only admit what you have to? Because if you only admit what you have to, what you're saying is, I'm trying to be kofar hakol. And only admitting what you have to is ha'aza, because you're only admitting what you are forced to admit. That's ha'aza. Saying, I'm not admitting anything controversial, right? That's kofra kol. So what you're saying is, I'm denying everything except what I have no choice. And that's basically ha'aza. And so that's what Tosa says. If Halach is pater, then the reason it's ha'aza to say shtayim is because Halach is ha'aza. If Halach is chayev, then I have to come up with a new reason why it's ha'aza to say shtayim. What's my new reason why it's ha'aza to say shtayim? Ah, because shtayim is ha'aza because I'm only admitting what I have to admit. So I'm really being chutzpahdik and denying anything that I can deny. When I deny everything I can deny, that's ha'aza. That's Tosos.
That's very funny, because, I mean, the guy says, I'm holding a star that says shtayim. What do you know about
that?
What?
No,
holding a star that says shtayim.
That's what Rabbi Akiva says back. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva says shtayim can't be ha'aza because the star backs you up. He said, of course it's not ha'aza to say shtayim. What do you mean, it's chutzpah? How can it be chutzpah? I'm saying what the star sounds like. Whatever the star sounds like, of course that's not ha'aza to say. That's very easy to say what the star sounds like. So that's Rabbi Akiva, and they seem to have a psychological machlokas here. Clearly, I'd say they have a psychological machlokas here, where Rabbi Akiva says this is not amigo to ha'aza, because it's not ha'aza to say shtayim, and Rosh Hashanah says it is ha'aza to say shtayim. The only, if we recall, the most interesting part of this Tosfos is that Tosfos thinks whether or not Shtayim is Ha'aza at first depends on whether Halach is Chayiv or Pater. And that's the Tosfos Shita that we mentioned earlier, who says that this Machlokas about Halach is really Machlokas about whether it's considered Ha'aza or not Ha'aza. Most Rishonim say not that way. Even in Tosfos, the Beis Halevi points out that there's another version of Tosfos in the Rabbeinu Peretz. And Tosu just, the Rabbeinu Peretz says, why aren't you nema migu of shtayim? And he says, it's ha'aza because you're not being moda anything that you, more than you absolutely have to. Tosu Rabbeinu Peretz and the other Rishonim just say, that's Tosos. But Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz and the other Rishonim only say this answer. They don't think this has anything with Halach Pater or Halach Chayiv. He doesn't say anything that there's a difference between the Man da Amar of Halach Pater and the... and the Man da Amar of Halach Chayiv. The most Rishonim assume that no, that nothing to do. Why? The machlokes in Halach Pater, Halach Chayiv is the machlokes in technicalities. That has nothing to do with your psychology, with how you feel about it. How you feel about it is very pashut. You feel that it's kofar akol to say shtayim because you're denying as much as you possibly can deny. Therefore, to other to deny as much as you can deny. So basically, what comes out of this only is, one second, the svara for Rabbi Akiva and the svara for Shimon Lutzer are pashut. Rabbi Akiva says, it's not a migud ha'azah. It's easy to say shtayim because you feel you have the shtar backing you up. And Rav Shimon Lazar says, no, it is a migud ha'azah. It's hard to say shtayim, because in shtayim, you're denying as much as possible. When you deny as much as possible, that's azus. The only strange thing about Tosos here is that Tosos sticks in that, besides the obvious svaras, he sticks in another svara, which he didn't really need to stick in, which is that lamanda or halach pater, halach automatically counts as ha'azah. And that's what we pointed out in Nafkamina on the board before, and that's what the Beis Halevi says in the beginning of this Sinulana test. The Nafkamina between Tosos and the other Rishonim is, in a different case, which has nothing to do with Slon Dinarim, like the case of 130 and the 20, do I have a Migo I could have said Halach or not? According to Tosus, there's never a Migo I could have said Halach, because we pass Halach as Pater and Halach as Ha'aza. According to the other Rishonim, you can always have a Migo you would have said Halach. That's enough to be in the base Halevi. Yes?
But, I mean, Tosus is hard. I understand it, but it doesn't make any sense. That could be in any star. I mean, from that far, you could say that anytime somebody goes to Besdin and I say, I owe you 100, and he says, no, 200. I says, but the star says 100. Take a shvua that you don't owe me more than 200. You don't take a shvua on a star. Why is this any different?
I'm not sure what your case is.
A regular case of star.
What do you mean? A guy comes in holding a star that says
100 shekels.
And I say, you owe me 100 shekels on the star plus another 100.
Yeah.
And this guy says, I admit to the 100 in the star, but I deny the other 100.
Star. What are you talking to me about?
Sounds like you're saying the Rambam.
I don't understand. I understand the words, but I don't understand the concept of how you could...
I don't understand. You walk into Besdin, fine. You walk into Besdin, you say, I owe you 200 and you have a star for 100.
Right.
Say, I admit the 100 you have a star about, I deny the rest.
Right?
Right? So, I'm talking making Oda. You're making a taina, and they were relying on the because half of it's true. Half it's true for two reasons, because I was Moda, and you have a star, Gevaldik. So I should be Chayiv Shvua. The only reason I'm not chayiv shvua is because maybe either because the 100 I made in the shtar is halach, because the karka is where yours wherever it is, or because the 100 I made in the shtar is shivik hakos, and there's a pter karka. In this case, mesayel shtar, it doesn't apply, because since you claim I owe another 100 besides the shtar doesn't prove one way or the other. Yes?
Isn't that a completely different case than what we're dealing with? Because that's two different tefillot that you're coming at the same time, but it's essentially two different taanos. One star says 100. Our case is he's saying this star is talking about 300, and you're saying this star is talking about 100. You can't say that the star that has a 100 on it is talking about 300.
Exactly.
But isn't it Kubo that when you have something, you always take the minimum of what has to be? That's a accepted thing. Everyone accepts that.
That's called Masayel Shtara, right? That's not so pashut. No. It's pashut that you can't prove more than the minimum. But it's a pashut that you can prove it's not more than the minimum. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's our havmina was, we can't prove more than two, but it could be two, three, or four. Kamashal said, they story. No, he has a shtickle proof that it's only two. A shtickle proof. Not a proof gomer. That's the machlokus, which the Mukha Yosef quotes, whether the Eli Shtar is considered a total proof or not. Nafmina is, does a pater prove hesis or not? Do we say, Mesiel Ishtar, I have strong proof that I only owe two, and I don't even have Tzur Hesses, or I have partial proof that I only owe two, but I still have Tzur Hesses. That's my focus for the book of Yosef. Now, the one thing which we're going to have to not finish today is the sheet of the Rambam. What's strange about the Rambam? The Rambam says a very, very nice svara. What's the very nice svara of the Rambam? Ein modu mitzvah chayi shvua, unless he's mowed on something that he could have denied. A hodah is only called a hodah if you could have denied it. If your modah is something obvious, that's not a hodah, right? If that's like shvur shav, right? If I swear that it's daytime now, and you know, I swear that this is a desk, so that's shvur shav. That's shem shemayim l'shav. That's not a proper halul shvur. Likewise, if I'm modah is something that's obvious, then if I'm modah is something that's obvious, then that doesn't count as a hodah. So, therefore, says the Rambam, if I come to you and say, you owe me 150, here's a shtar for, plus you owe me another 50 from yesterday. And you say, I admit the 50, the shtar. The Rambam says, that's not a hodah. You weren't admitting anything. It was pashut. How can it be called admitting if it's never pashut? That's not admitting, that's shav. Your words were shav. You didn't have to admit anything. That's the famous shita of the Rambam. And what is the kasha that the Rambam creates? If the Rambam says, a hodah that was obvious doesn't count as a hodah, then what's the difficulty in our sugya? Exactly. Why didn't the Gemara say? Why didn't the Gemara say it's hodah b'davar she'i efshar lichbarbo? That is what the Rambam has to do some explaining, right? The Rambam says a hodah that's obvious doesn't count. That's a reasonable svara. Yeah. How can you call that modah mitzvah? It's not really modah if it's obvious. But why didn't the Gemara say that? The Gemara gives three explanations, right? It's not as if the Gemara, like, wasn't trying to cover all the bases. The Gemara gave three explanations to why Shtaymai Pater brought all the possibilities. Maybe because of Halach. Maybe because of Siyua Hashtar. Maybe because of Shibut Karkos. The Gemara didn't say, it's just two is not a Hodah because it was obvious. Why didn't if the Rambam's right, why didn't the Gemara say like the Rambam? Now, you don't have to agree with the Rambam. You could disagree with the Rambam. But if the Rambam's right, why didn't the Gemara say like the Rambam? The Rishonim all point out there's a big nafgamina between the Pashup Shad and the Gemara and the Rambam. What's the nafgamina between the Pashup Shad and the Gemara and the Rambam? Right, this is the Kasha on the Rambam. What's the nafgamina between the Pashup Shad and our Gemara and the Rambam? Right, what's enough being? Here you have the Rambam, and here you have the Pshat and the Gemara. Nafkamina is, what if your modeh? Yeah, what's nafkamina? You have a question. What's your question?
Does the Rambam hold that the modeh b'miktsas is the p'tur, or the korban kol is the p'tur, modeh b'miktsas is the chiyuv shvua? Because then, if you say that, you can say that even if it's not modeh b'miktsas, it's still not kol for a kol.
That's not going to help. Lamaisa, the Rambam says you're potter from a shul.
So that's why I'm trying to. Which side did the Rambam?
Either way, I'm going to see how it's going to help you.
Because if the Rambam was coming from the side that the chiyuv shvuah is automatically generated from the tviya, then you need a full blown modeh b'miktsas in order to potter you. This isn't a modeh other way around.
Kofar kol to pot you. This isn't a kofar
right,
kol.
Right.
So they should have said that in our sugya.
But maybe then you could just say that's not where the Gemara is coming from.
And then the Rambam's against the Gemara, and that doesn't help.
But I thought
you should make the Rambam against the Gemara in something else. That's not helping us.
But I thought we saw both streams in the Gemara, so you could.
That's already too published for me. The classic nafkamina they say is, what about modeh be sav yado sheyesh bo nemanos? What does that mean? What if you were asked Rambam on modeh 50, and on that 50, there's no shtar. There's a handwritten shtar without Eidim. And what does it mean the shtar is nemanus? And within that handwritten shtar without Eidus, it says explicitly that I'm not believed to say that I paid as long as they're holding the shtar. Right? You have a handwritten shtar that I owe you the money. You have a handwritten shtar that I owe you the money, and I admit to that. Does that count as am I chayav shvuah or not? What do you say, simple shadim are? Simple shadim are what things pot you from shvuah? Karka, right? Halach of karka, emptor karka. Is there any shibud karka in a handwritten shtar? No, there can't be a shibud karka in a handwritten shtar. Because then every time I sold my field, I would just write a handwritten shtar that yesterday I borrowed $1 million from you, and then you would go take the field from the guy, and then we would split it. Right? So then, clearly, according to the Pshat, right, that's what most Rishonim, that's how all the Rishonim paskin, right? This is the psak of the Ramban and the Shar Rishonim all say that you're chayav shua. Why? Because it's not halach, because there's no shibud, and it's not pure karkiv, because there's no shibud. And it's not a case of say olei shtar. You know, it's not one of these weird cases. But the Meiri, based on the Rambam, says, you'd be potter. Why? Because you're admitting something that you couldn't have denied. Therefore, you're potter. Rav Haigon goes even further, quoting the Meiri here. You can actually find this Rav Haigon. If you want to look in the Rav Haigon's Mishnah Shvuos, it's the end of the first chelok of the first perek, or the first perek of the first shar. What about Moda Behalva'a Sheyesh alav Eidim Balpeh? You have Eidim that I owe you the money, and I admit, did that count as Hodah? It's going to Pashm Shadim in the Barah, right? Chayav, why? Because there's no Shibakarta. Milva be'edim, not the Shibakarta, only Milva be'shtar.
Wait, why isn't this deniable? Well, sorry, why isn't, according to Meiri, why isn't the Ketav Yad case deniable? I could just say it's not my Ketav Yad.
No, it is your Ketav Yad. What do you mean?
No, but the whole point is I'm being voted that it's my Ketav Yad.
No, let's say it's Mekoyim.
But if it's Mekoyim, then it's not a handwritten star anymore. Then it's Mekoyim.
Or no, let's say the judges recognize that it's my Ketav Yad. After all, I'm here in Besdin. They can just compare it. Let's say it's obvious my Ketav Yad. Rav Haigon says Potter. This Rav Haigon is a very, very big Kiddush. He says Potter. He says, basically, if I come and I say, look, you owe me 100 shekel, and 50 shekel I've eaten for, and I say, well, I admit the 50 shekel I've eaten, you're a potter, that's not a hodah. Why? I'm mowed is something I couldn't have denied. The Meiri himself says, this Rav Haigon is a little funny, because couldn't I have claimed that I paid the money and denied it? So I don't know exactly how to defend Rav Haigon. Maybe Rav Haigon, you have to make an okimta that the Eidim testified that you agreed that you wouldn't claim to have paid without proof or something. But this is Potter, and Sarich Ion Shahare Yachol Lichpor Al Yidei Tainas Parati. So it's a Sarich Ion of Rav Haigon. No one really understands Rav Haigon, which is why the Meiri doesn't go as far as Rav Haigon. The Rambam doesn't. Would not go as far as Rav Haigon. But in any case, Rav Haigon basically says it's only mod mitzvah, modeh, when you don't have proof. If you have proof in a modeh, that's not modeh b'mitzvah. And even Rav Haigon's case is a little bit tzarech iyun, because he considers Eidim to be a proof, and Eidim are not a good proof. Because Eidim only prove that I borrowed. They don't prove whether or not I paid. But sam yodo with nemanos, a hand signed IOU that clearly stipulates that you have to rip it up when you pay, that is a clear proof that I owe you the money, which is just as good as a regular shtar, except that it doesn't have karka. Therefore, it's enough gamina between all the Rishonim and Ramban and all the other Rishonim after him, based on Pashim Shabbat where I say, that's modem mitzvah. What do you mean? There's no siyu of the shtar one way or the other, because it's not a case of a strangely written shtar. There's no karka, and there's no halach. Well, the Rambam would say, no, you're potter, because it's not a real hodah. It's a hodah, something you couldn't have denied. Okay, that's the sheet of the Rambam. We'll have to come back next time, Amir Hashem, to the question of how exactly to answer up our sugya l'fi the Rambam. And then I want to get into the Tosus, the Rassel Enish Bon Al Kir Shiva Tarkos. There's a very, very fundamental Tosus here. I have probably already too many Makoros, but I was just, I meant to add a few more. So meanwhile, you can take this and then I'll email out a few more. Next year, we're going to finish this inyan and talk about the idea of Amish Ba'an of Fira Shibut Karkos.